I told them folks? I said, you all can go to hell. I'm going to Texas.
Howdy and good morning, worthy friend. This is the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel, king size, Drew Thrum radio size speakers, wondering what just fell off my desk, coming at you live from the Republic of Texas. I'm your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett. Yeah, I was just about to start the show, and apparently my knee bumped into something, and so, I'm like, what? Anyway, it is very good to be back in my cozy little spot here, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers, I am your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett. I would give you the phone number, but as Mitter Church said, of Mike Church of the Mike Church Show said this morning, the phone line's not really working. If they were, it would be 844-527-8723. However, not to fear, we have other ways to get in touch with this show. If you want to go to the Mike Church Show chat room, mikechurch.com/chat. You can also send me an electronic mail, barrettbrief@gmail.com, barrettbrief@gmail.com. The Twitter is barrettbrief. Let's see, Instagram's rtb_2, facebook.com/barrettbrief. Now, we do have 21 people in the chat room. Now, does that work for Mr. McConaughey? I'm working here. I feel like I just did something in the Olympics, and I got to wait for the judges to give me a score. 23 people. That thing just jumped right up there. So I don't know. Let's see here. The judges are still giving me grief here. But let's see. Nope. 23 people. Are you sure, Matt?
I gotta pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
Never good enough for him. Never good enough. But if you go to mikechurch.com/chat, you can help me out, and then you can...
Do it.
Go there. Help me out, man. mikechurch.com/chat. So, I did put out my list of topics on the Twitter and on the Facebook, but in case you don't have those, which is fine, and good for you if you don't have them, you're doing much better than I am. We're going to start off today. Here's your bluff, your bottom line up front. We're going to continue to make fun of Elizabeth Warren because when you're that pompous and you think you have it in the bag and it completely backfires on you, you deserve the ridicule. After that, we have a Supreme Court case from CNBC.com reporting that could determine whether Facebook, Twitter, and other social media companies can censor their users, which is a very potentially big deal. Also, we have something from Politico talking about Trump's attacks on the press are illegal, so they're suing because nothing will make your average middle American feel worse for the press than for them to complain about how tough it is to be a member of the press. And then we have this article from Catholic news agency. Catholic U professor leads response to French President Emmanuel Macron's remarks on large families. So, before we get to all that, let us first cover our virtue of the week, which is humility. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older, all of you. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another because, quote, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. In God's eyes, humility is defined as simply putting ourselves completely under his mighty hand. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4:10. We are humble when we are free from pride and arrogance. And when we are humble, we are ready to and available to receive God's favor and blessing. This is episode 186. I think it's 150s. It's actually 186. And at the beginning of every Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers, we start with two statistics that people need to be reminded of. Even fellow Catholics, my fellow Catholics out there, when I tell you these statistics, you get very jittery and you're mashing and grinding of teeth. But it's because everybody gets so uptight that we need to hear these statistics. The first one is the number of abortions here in the United States and throughout the world. As of right now, folks, you have 50,803 and climbing here in the United, that's worldwide, just today. In the United States, 1,176.9 babies have been murdered in the good old US of A. This year, 736,495.8 babies are dead in the United States. You know, we're American, we're Christian America. Well, here in Christian America, folks, over 700,000 babies are dead. And then worldwide this year, 32,188,647 and climbing. Why do we have to talk, Richard? Why do you talk about these things? It's so morbid. You think? I mean, I'm not laughing at the statistic. I'm laughing at you. If you're asking me that question. Yeah, it's morbid. But you can't just vote pro-life and then dance down the street like there's no problem. No, I give money to my local pro-life group. Congratulations. That's also a very good thing. I do as well. But it's not enough. We Catholics, especially, half of us, vote Democrat. We vote to empower the people that murder babies. And we even have priests that say it's okay. It's okay because you vote for universal health care, so don't worry about it. Yeah, worry about it. That's not right. But until we as Catholics straighten our house out and then engage in the culture war, like, hey, you can't kill babies. Not a good thing. That number is going to keep going up. Second statistic that we talk about at the beginning of every Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel is the U.S. national debt. $21,632,471,000,000 and climbing. Oh, it's those stupid Democrats. It everybody. Right and left. You could say it's the result of public schools. Over time. But guess what, folks? People are conditioned not to put their faith in God, but to put their faith in government. No, government can solve our problems. Let's run to the government. Oh, government. And if you're going to sit there listening, and this is your first time listening, you might want to grab onto something. Because if you bend the knee, you could easily be a Christian conservative and still put government over God. Nah, Rick. I don't. I believe in God. Okay. I think that's great. Do you lose your mind at the beginning of every football game when the flag's out and the planes fly over? But yeah, that's because I'm American. Okay. Point proven. To my Catholic friends, are you an American Catholic or are you a Catholic American?
Well, Rich, what?
As my New England family and friends would say, what's the difference here? Get to the point. What are you talking about? American Catholic, Catholic American, what are you doing? Well, if you are a Catholic American, your faith has dominion over everything. You are not Joe Biden. You are not Tim Kaine.
Oh, well, I'm personally pro-life, but publicly I don't want to put that on anybody.
Uh-uh. If you're a Catholic American, this is what you say. My faith dominates all portions of my life. I believe life begins at conception. So no, I will not vote to murder babies. That's what a Catholic American does. An American Catholic believes there's two confessional lines, your public and your private confessionals. So you have to realize, folks, that even within the Catholic community, we have problems. There's a lot of American Catholics out there. And that's bad. That's bad, okay? Why? Because they put the ideas and the values of America, huge national debt, abortion, sodomy, contraception, pornography, usury. Those are the ideas they fight to protect, they fight for. They don't fight for the ideas of the faith. And that's why we talk about those two statistics at the beginning of every Barrett Brief. Here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth, from Radio Size Speakers. All right, let's get right into it, because this story is just, this Elizabeth Warren thing is so great. It is just so amazing, and I love it. Because as I've been explaining for the last 2 days, at least this week, I've been talking about, Trump is Thanos, but he's Thanos because he's going up against the stupid Avengers. Warren, Cory Booker, you name it. Sean King, any of these liberal progressives. And he's just Thanos snapping them away one after another. I mean, this is legitimately one of the biggest political owns ever, at least in modern politics. I mean, we were sitting here going, wow, it can't get any worse than Hillary Clinton blowing the lead, blowing the election to a novice like Trump, and then Elizabeth Warren pops out of nowhere and says, hold my firewater. I stole that from a meme. I'm sorry. I'm just going to hold my firewater. I will show you how to mess things up even more, to the point where even CNN's like, yeah, you might not want to have done that. That wasn't a good idea. Let's actually listen to a little bit of CNN here. Let's recap.
The leaders of the Cherokee Nation are speaking out against Senator Elizabeth Warren's campaign video touting her Native American ancestry courtesy of a newly revealed DNA test. The tribe saying in part, quote, a DNA test is useless to determine tribal citizenship. Out front now, the Secretary of State for the Cherokee Nation, Chuck Hoskin Jr. Thanks so much for joining us. Why do you find this offensive?
Well, Jake, thanks for having me on. The problem with the DNA test is that it proves nothing of relevance to whether a person is a citizen of an Indian nation, a member of an Indian nation. DNA at best can give you some indicators of some markers that indicate that you're related to somebody who lived long ago that may have lived in North and South America, may have been a native peoples of those continents. It's irrelevant to what it means to be a Native American in this country. That's based on a legal definition. Certainly every tribe has that in common, that we have some legal basis for our citizenship that we determine consistent with federal treaties. Just wholly unhelpful for any national leader to cling to DNA to determine or to establish that they're Native American in this country.
Okay, so just to play devil's advocate, she said in her statement that she's not claiming that she belongs to any nation, any tribal association, that this was just about the fact that she had been told as a child that she had Native American heritage, that she had a distant relative, and she wanted to see if there was any...
See, that's just nonsense. I got to jump in there. Because there's two ways to do it, and that is the whole fail of this. First of all, the test proves she had 0.0098% Native American ancestry. The average white person walking around Nebraska, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Utah has 0.18, meaning she is whiter than the average white man. And so, she never said it was a distant relative. It was her papa. It was her papa who said that they have high cheekbones like all the Indians do. She didn't say it was a distant relative. And like, here we go. I'll go back to saying this. A PR firm or any kind of public relations person would say, don't claim it. Say, yes, my parents told me, and I have it in my blood. You know, it's part of my bloodline. I'm 1/5 whatever, like anybody does. Nope. Nobody would fault you for that, because how many of us, I'm half Irish, half Italian, a quarter, you know, whatever. People come up with the weirdest percentages when they're talking about ancestry. You know, people who don't know math all of a sudden become research scholars when trying to talk about their, well, I'm 47% French, 13% German. They come out with these crazy numbers. It's like, so which part of your body is the French party, or are your legs French and your arms Italian? What are you doing? When we're really just Americans, you know, we're American by birth. We have traces of it. So if she said, listen, It's in my bloodline. You know, it's not something that's really heavy on it, but I like to think about it and research it. No, she was running around demanding the University of Pennsylvania mark her ethnicity as Native American. She checked the box that said Native American. So that's where the problem is. I don't want to listen to the rest of it because Jake Tapper is going to continue to run interference. And that's one thing that this story really exposes. This story really exposes the fact that 10 years ago, this story comes out, everybody sits there and accepts it because your legacy media runs interference. Oh, she's got strong proof that she's Native American. Nobody would have questioned it. Maybe like a Fox News or maybe an investigative journal like National Review or something like that would have. But with alternative media, like the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers, and your social medias. So that story just falls apart. That story gets picked apart and destroyed within moments. So let's get to this article. This is by Chris Kazia of CNN Politics. Elizabeth Warren might have actually made things worse with her DNA gambit. 24 hours after Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren shocked the political world with a 5-minute video and a mountain of documentation. I don't know. Like, one paper does not make a mountain of documentation. Aimed at putting to bed the controversy over a claim of Native American heritage, it's becoming increasingly clear that the strategy amounts to a swing and a miss. I like how gentle they're being with her. This is a huge political flop. That's what this is. This is a huge political flop right on her face. Warren's goal, the article continues, was to take the issue of her heritage off the table for nervous Democrats to show that she was ready, willing, and able to stand with the President Donald Trump if and when the time came that she was the party's nominee against him. See how this has shifted? This was initially, excuse me, Trump, we got you. What up, sucker? I got proof of Native American heritage. And then she was supposed to mic drop and everything was supposed to be great. And Trump was supposed to sit there and go, ooh. They were supposed to own Trump with this. But then everybody went, oh, this is actually not working. So let's, oh, no, she was just trying to talk to nervous Democrats. That's what's going on. She wasn't trying to challenge Trump. She was just trying to reaffirm her status. It was such a quick, I will give them this much, after the massive fail, the fact that they didn't listen to Charlie in the back of the room being like, guys, this is actually is not, 1/1024th is not really Native American heritage. You can't really go with this. After they didn't listen to him, they changed course pretty quickly. The problem is, the article goes, that when you strip away all the glitz of her well-produced video, you are left with this. There's no certainty that Warren is, in any meaningful way, Native American. Chris, she's not Native American. The way this is worded, they're still running cover for her. She's not. I told you, the average white person has 0.18% Native American bloodline. She has 0.0098. She's whiter than most white people. Article continues. Yes, Stanford geneticist Carlos Bustame tells Warren in the video that facts suggest you absolutely have Native American ancestry in your pedigree, but the estimate of just how much actually possesses ranges from 1/64th to a whopping 1/1024th, which is more likely the 1/1024th, which is why they have to mention it. So Trump made fun of it. I talked to you guys about that yesterday. This is, of course, what Trump does. He bullies. Whatever. They tried to bully Trump with this. That's why they came out with the video. That's why they came out with the article in the Boston Globe. It's unbelievable how much of a fail that this was. But what is the reason? Mike Church of the Mike Churchill had a good take on it about using science as the only way to back up these false claims. You should listen to it. If you didn't listen to Mike Church's show this morning, I have a solution for you. Go to the iTunes and Google Play Store, download the Crusade Channel content app. As long as you're a founding brother or higher, you will be able to listen to it. So you have to do that. It's the greatest app out there. Download the iTunes and on the iTunes or Google Play Store, the Crusade Channel content app, and listen to Mike's show this morning, after mine, obviously, about how they're trying to use science to back up false claims. The problem is, they're like, oh, well, Trump's such a bully. You guys legitimately tried to bully Trump. Well, Trump, even Stephen King, I saw somebody retweeted that stupid head. Which is, I have to say those kinds of things because I want to keep it clean. That's that foolish man. He's like, Trump, where are you going to put your money now, buddy? Because obviously she proved you wrong. Fail. Y'all failed. Once again, President Trump is sprinkling the stupid dust all over the Democratic Party. Now, I have my problems with Trump. I do. I love the fact he's pro-life. Most pro-life president ever. I don't like a lot of his other stuff, budgetary things, the continuing wars and so forth. But when it comes to making the left lose whatever sense of poise or perception of poise they had before this election, it's gone. Who decided that this was a good idea? There was enough mystery there, or there was why couldn't Elizabeth Warren hide behind the platitude of, I think it's ridiculous that you're questioning my Native American heritage? Yeah, it would have been a talking point, but no more of a talking point as Trump's extramarital affairs or any of the stuff that other politicians have lied about. Well, Trump didn't lie about it, but questions they have to face, that's a better way to put it. She would have had enough legacy media run coverage on her that she didn't have to do this. So, why did she feel compelled? According to the article, is because CNN's saying, well, there's Democrats that are concerned. Who? Who's concerned? If that was a concern, it should have come up in 2012. Because all this has done is it's sunk her political chance. She's done. She's not the nominee. There's no way she's going to make it. She's a joke now. She's officially beat. It was a joke about her heritage. Now her entire era or stewardship of her Senate seat in Massachusetts is a joke. I mean, she'll get reelected and reelected, but this is the same state that reelected Ted Kennedy until he legitimately died. So there's nothing there. But outside of the state of Massachusetts, it has been confirmed that she's a joke, even to Democrats now. It is, if you've seen the meme where the guy steps on the rake and smacks himself in the face, that's what this was. There was no reason for her to do this. She had enough coverage. She had the legacy media. But she decided she was going to bully Trump. This is the problem that they have. They're used to being the bully, the left. They're used to being the bully and then having legacy media cover for them. It was a very nice marriage. President Trump coming into office broke that. And so they don't know how to approach it. This is a huge miscalculation. This is something you don't expect from Democrats. This is something you expect from Republicans. Stupid Republicans that don't know how to do anything. But not the left. The left is not supposed to be this foolish. And if they are, the legacy media is supposed to be able to cover it up quick enough that nobody cares. But this own that she has taken. And the thing I have to stress is that because President Trump is sprinkling the stupid dust on the Democratic Party, they are falling over themselves to prove I can stand up to Trump. But when you believe in social terrorist principles like they do, oh, well, obviously a woman can be a man, can be a woman again. Obviously, the patriarchy is responsible for all this. Obviously, you can believe all women without any evidence, when you have to constantly apologize and worry about what everybody thinks in your party, think about that. The left is so messed up that they're too busy falling over themselves apologizing to each other. That when you have somebody who, I mean, compared to the entire left wing, President Trump's a pretty normal guy. I mean, they made fun of the fact that he was a very normal guy. How do you stand up for that? When you have people that have never worked before, they don't deal in reality. They don't deal with everyday people. They live on their college campuses or they live in their Senate offices. I go to the normal people. When? When do you? You send your interns to go to Starbucks to get your coffee. You don't drive. You don't leave your office. Either it's a college campus or it's your government building. They don't know how to act normal. And that's why this is just, it's just another example of it. These people live in government. Somebody in the chat room put it perfectly. Go to mikechurch.com/chat to see it. And that is why this last line from Chris Cazilia of CNN sums up the Democratic Party perfectly in the age of Trump. The fact means Warren's strategy amounts to a swing and a miss. Why? Because their entire platform is a fantasy. You could go to any leftist and ask them, what is the most real thing about your platform?
Universal health care.
Nope, not a thing.
Gun control will stop all murders.
Yeah, not a thing.
Believe survivors. Nope, not a thing.
Universal income. Nope, not a thing. Nothing. Anything they bring up. Look at their platforms. They're just ridiculous. I watched a little bit of the Robert Francis O'Rourke, Ted Cruz debate last night, which was hysterical because O'Rourke looked like he looked like he was a 14-year-old kid on a first date. He was sweating so much. And there was a question. My wife and I only watched maybe like 5 to 8 minutes of it. There was a question about universal health care. And the question on the Chiron on the screen said, who pays? And Robert Francis O'Rourke decided to take his 2 minutes to talk about platitudes. And then he started talking about the criminal justice system. There's no reality within the Democratic circles, within your leftist people. There's nothing real there. And that's why they keep tripping over themselves. They keep running into walls. They don't know how to act when Trump insults them. They sit there, oh, you're racist and xenophobic. And the regular person's like, ha ha, sucker. That's what happens. When you deal in reality, that's what happens. You push. And if you're a bully, somebody pushes back. You can't call Trump a bully when your entire platform is social terrorism, where you bully people into believing that you bully people into one of two things, either believing what you believe or silencing them by either threats of firing, ruining their life, or physical violence. Of course people are going to vote for a guy like Trump. And so that's why this self-own by Miss Elizabeth Warren is hysterical. And the fact that people are still scrambling to be like, ha ha ha, she totally got you, Trump. No, you're absolutely, completely wrong. There's no way that worked. And the fact that if they had one normal person saying, listen, you can't go with this. At best, you're already lying, so just keep lying. Just keep going with it. You're in politics. Or, you know, slowly over time say, listen, my parents told me I wanted to believe my parents, and it's something that I like, but I don't really, I'm an American first, blah, blah, blah. There's so many different ways you could have gotten out of it. But guess what, Elizabeth Warren? Because you decided to roll this whole thing out and act like you were going to be the person to take down Trump and stop that bully, but you ended up owning yourself. So guess what?
Oh, no! We suck again.
Yep. That should be the Democratic Party's. Whoever gets the nomination in 2020, I've got your slogan already queued up and ready to go.
Oh, no. We suck again.
Yes, you do. All right. BarrettBrief@gmail.com. BarrettBrief. Facebook.com/BarrettBrief. Barrett Brief on the Twitter feed. MikeChurch.com/chat. If you want to jump in the chat room. We got 25 people in there. That's pretty good. If you want to join them. It's the bottom of the hour. So I want to talk to you guys about my Founders Trading Post Spotlight of the Month, which is the Pocket Constitution. The National Center for Constitutional Studies has printed a special edition copy of the Constitution of the United States that has been proved word for word against the original Constitution housed in the archives in Washington, D.C. It is identical in spelling, capitalization, and punctuation. This 48-page pocket Constitution also includes the Bill of Rights, Amendments 11 through 27, the Declaration of Independence, and a complete index of the pocket Constitution. Did you know you can add Mike Church's autograph to your pocket Constitution? That's right, folks. The King Dude himself can sign your pocket Constitution. If you go to MikeChurch.com/shop, S-H-O-P, that is the Founders Trading Post. My Founders Trading Post Spotlight of the Month is the pocket Constitution, which you can find by going to MikeChurch.com/shop. All right. So we got this case. It is Manhattan Community Access Corp. versus Halleck. And it's in New York. And from CNBC, the title says, Supreme Court agrees to hear a case that would determine whether Facebook, Twitter, and other social media companies can censor their users. We're reading it. We're going to go into this here on the Barrett Brief and the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth, from Radio Size Speakers. So this is by Tucker Higgins. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case that could determine whether users can challenge social media companies on free speech grounds. Now, of course, even your diehard conservative, you know, your Mark Levins and all the supposed conservatives out there are going to be cheering the fact that your 5-4 SCOTUS with the newly confirmed Brett Kavanaugh, which, by the way, please pray for him and his family and their souls as these witches attempt. There's an organization, a ritual attempting to put a hex on them. Please pray for them. They're celebrating the fact that the Supreme Court might finally step in and save us from the evils that is social media. Except the fact that, as Mike Church of the Mike Church Show pointed out this morning, this should just be in New York. Texas should be able to tell social media companies to go pound sand. That's where it should be. Instead, we all have to run to the American government, like I said at the beginning of the show in regards to the U.S. national debt. Why? America! Yeah! That's why. Because we have to. We have no idea about individual states. We're not an individual. We're not a union of countries and so forth. Nope, we're one big old blob, and you better salute that flag, sucker. All right. Back into the article. This case, Manhattan Community Access Corp. versus Halleck, number 17702, centers on whether a private operator of a public access television network is considered a state actor, which can be sued for First Amendment violations. This case could have broader implications for social media and other media outlets. In particular, a broad ruling from the high court could open the country's largest technology companies up to First Amendment lawsuits. Ooh, good, as long as we get the First Amendment in there.
Well, Richard, why? The Constitution protects the First Amendment.
You know, you should be listening to Mike Church explain it. I've had Suzanne Sherman of the Wasatch Report from Cerberus Radio Network explain it. I've explained it. Anybody with a brain can explain that the fact of the matter is the First Amendment is not supposed to be for you. The First Amendment is supposed to be for the federal government. The first 10 amendments is supposed to be a shield from government tyranny. You people have turned around and made it a skateboard to let the federal government come in and impose its will on you. It's ridiculous. But we have this idea that it's a First Amendment right, or it's a Second Amendment right, or it's a Fifth Amendment issue. No, 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 no. But we've allowed it to be this. We've gotten to this point that we have no choice. Between we're stuck in a rock and a hard place, whether we allow the oligarchy of social media located in Silicon Valley to tell us what to do, or the oligarchy in Washington, D.C. to tell us what to do. Great. We're just going to switch out one for another. Whoopee! You know? Congratulations. Now we get to, instead of having to deal with social media or having to deal with how... I already said it. We're switching out one for another. We're switching out one group of small group of people for another group of small group, another small group of people to tell us what to do. And to that, most of us, when this ruling comes down, if it comes down in favor of the First Amendment, you're going to hear the loud cry of,
huzzah!
Yeah, congratulations. Way to go.
Oh, my heart.
Way to go. So the Supreme, this court, this could shape the ability of companies like Facebook, Twitter, and Alphabet's Google to control the content of their on their platform as lawmakers clamor for more regulations and activists on the left and right spar over issues related to censorship and harassment. The article continues. You're listening to the Bad Brief here on the Crusade Channel. King-size truth from radio-size speakers. The Supreme Court accepted the case on Friday. It is the first case taken by a reconstituted high court after Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation earlier this month. On its face, the case has nothing to do with social media at all. But that doesn't matter, folks. I'm jumping out of the article. What do you mean it has nothing to do with social media? I'm sure with a little bit of elbow grease and some gojo, we can pry this sucker right into it. There's nothing out there that the first 10 amendments of the Constitution can't be hammered into, right? I mean, that's what the Supreme Court does. They do. That meme where they're like, "You can fit so many amendments in this bad boy." This case can fit so many different things here, so many different Supreme Court precedences in it. All right. Rather, the article continues, the facts of the case concern public access television, which I didn't even know that was still a thing. People still use it. Apparently they do. And two producers who claimed they were punished for expressing their political views. The producers, D.D. Halleck and Mr. Melendez, said that Manhattan Neighborhood Network suspended them for expressing their views that were critical of the network. Ooh. In making the argument to the justices that the case was worthy of review, attorneys for the Manhattan New Neighborhood Network said the court could use the case to resolve a lingering dispute over the power of social media companies to regulate the content on their platforms. So why would the attorneys... Oh, because it's a public public network. They're like, hey, you could totally regulate us. And Facebook. That was the caveat. We don't want to hear this case. It's a stupid case. Who cares about public access television? Nobody watches it. But you could use this as a precedent to bang away on social medias and get those under government control. I'll take it. Oh, so good. While the First Amendment is meant to protect citizens against government's attempt to limit speech, there are certain situations in which private companies can be subject to First Amendment liability, according to this article. Attorneys for the Manhattan Neighborhood Network have made the case that social media companies are clearly not government actors. But in raising the question, they have provided the Supreme Court with an opportunity to weigh in. Don't let the fox in the hen house, folks. They are opening it up right now. Come on in. The article continues, we stand at a moment when the very issue at the heart of this case, the interplay between private entities, non-traditional media, and the First Amendment, has been playing out in the courts, in other branches of government, and in the media itself, according to attorneys for MNN, which is the Manhattan Neighborhood Network, they wrote in their final plea for the justices to take up this case. This has nothing to do with social media. But even the attorneys for public access are like, dude, totally, hey, bro, totally take this case. And then you can use this precedent to take control of social media companies. And that's why we don't want an activist court. But we do. Look at the way this thing is even being written. We don't even care if you tell us to rehire these two idiots. We'll totally do it. But if we allow you the precedent to go after social media companies, that's the greater good. Unbelievable. This is the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King-Size Truth from Radio-Size Speakers. A ruling against MNN on the broad question it has asked to the court to consider could open social media companies to First Amendment suits, which would force them to limit the actions they take to control the content on their platform. Now, of course, we have covered social media censorship, and in the end, it would be nice to have some kind of control or some kind of way to not have that small oligarchy in San Francisco controlling everything, but do you really want to put it in the hands of SCOTUS? If you ask most Republicans, they're like, yeah. No, you don't. Okay. Anyway, the court could also rule more narrowly against Manhattan Neighborhood Network in a way that does not impact the companies. The case is likely to get extra attention as it moves forward, given Republican lawmakers increasing attacks against social media companies for perceived partisanship. I'm sorry, CNBC. I'm going to scrub out this perceived part for partisanship. It's clearly there. Those attacks have raised the specter that the court, which has served as a bulwark for conservative expression, could step in. Some observers have expressed caution, saying that the justices are unlikely to rule in a way that could substantially impact social media companies. Whatever. There's a lot of stuff here that... And then they talk about how people are hoping that this happens. But there you go, folks. We're going to keep our eye on Manhattan Community Access Court versus Halleck. Because depending on how it's ruled, if it's ruled narrowly, then it won't impact social media companies. But if the court sees an opportunity to step in and be more activist and solve this issue of social media regulation, this could get a lot more interesting. Because right now, this is just people squabbling over public access, public TV access, which would be an awesome case in 1975. But not really applicable here, which is why Manhattan News Network itself or the Neighborhood Network itself says, hey, totally take this case and help us out. And that way you can use the precedent to pry yourselves into social media companies and regulate them, too, because we all know government likes regulation, right? 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 All right. You're listening to the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Moving on to our next article here. We have from Political Magazine, this is by Suzanne Nassel, and this we talked about Elizabeth Warren and how her total, her whole episode shows how tone deaf people in the Democratic Party are because they live in this bubble, this Democratic bubble, right? This article screams bubble as well. Headline, Trump's attack on the press are illegal, we're suing. A coalition of free press advocates is taking on the president. Okay, what are you going to do? Because I've read multiple headlines here, multiple articles over the past couple weeks, where you guys have been wrong. Is it illegal for Trump to attack the press when NBC deliberately edits a speech to make it sound like he was supporting Robert E. Lee and then call him a racist for it? Now let's read a little bit of this before the end of the hour. President Donald Trump's frequent threats and hostile acts directed towards journalists and the media are not only offensive and unbecoming of a Democratic leader, they are also illegal. okay, there's so much wrong in this first sentence. I don't even know if I have time in this hour to finish this up. But just look, frequent threats. When is he? What has he threatened the press with? Has he jailed anybody? I mean, I haven't seen that. And hostile acts. Oh, you mean the fact that he calls out your BS when you people lie or cover for people? Or when you come out on Monday and say Elizabeth Warren has strong evidence that she has Native American heritage. And then everybody goes, no, you're wrong. Is that a threat? You're talking about the fact that President Trump, through alternative media and just through being who he is, has threatened your status as tastemakers, as the people who drive opinion. Because you don't. And that's another area. The left, the Democratic Party, doesn't know how to react to President Trump because everything they've done for 50 years has worked, doesn't work on him. The press is the same way. Every day the press is talking about invoking the 25th Amendment or how he's unbecoming of a president or how he's awful in this. A perfect example is Stormy Daniels a couple weeks ago made fun of the president, certain appendages on his body and called him a fat loser. And the press was like, yay! And then President Trump calls her a horse face yesterday. And they were like, boo, you can't do that. That's unbecoming. Well, which one is it? Are we cheering people for body shaming or are we not? And that's the problem here. But directed towards journalists and the media are not only offensive and unbecoming of a Democratic leader, not a Democratic leader because he was voted in by the Electoral College, not a democracy, but that's okay, Susan. You don't know the difference. They're also illegal. How? How are they illegal? In the Trump era, she writes, nasty rhetoric, insults, and even threats of violence have become an occupational hazard for political reporters and commenters. Wow. Don't be afraid to give yourself a purple heart here, Susan. To be sure, a good portion of President Trump's verbal attacks on journalists and news organizations might be considered fair game in this bare-knuckle political moment. The president has free speech rights just like the rest of us, and deemed the news media, quote, the enemy of the American people, unquote, and dismissed accurate reports as fake news. That's because, well, here's the problem that Suzanne doesn't want to talk about. The news media created the term fake news to try and talk negatively about Trump. Except, what have we seen in the 2 years since Trump has been elected? It's all true. It may not all be true, but it's been proven true more often than not that fake news exists. Now, what is she saying here that's he cannot use his powers of office to suppress or punish speech he doesn't like? All right, when President Trump proposes government retribution against news outlets and reporters, his statement crosses the line. Okay, maybe he proposes it, but has it happened? Has he written an executive order yet? I know Obama actually used certain government whistleblower laws and stuff to go after journalists. He did, but President Trump just says things out. He just says stuff. Still, worse still, in several cases, she writes, it appears that bureaucracy he controls has acted on his demands, making other threats he issued to use government powers more credible. When has he actually arrested some? Oh, he threw somebody out of a press conference? So? That's not curtailing the power of the press or whatever the case is. And she goes on and on and on and writes, and it's just, it's such a sappy little crying, whiny, oh, well, the power of the press has been undermined in the First Amendment and blah, blah, blah. Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you stop pushing a certain agenda, right or left? How about that? How about you be neutral? Well, Rich, what about you? I'm not a journalist. I'm an idiot behind a microphone. Okay? I talk about stuff. I'm an opinion. I have an opinion. I guess you would call me an opinion host. I'm a talk radio host. I'm not a journalist. Okay? When you call yourself a journalist, you're supposed to be straight down the middle. You're supposed to have political opinions. But yet CNN, MSNBC, I'll even throw Fox in there. All of them push agendas. And when you push agendas and you talk about how the president is nuts or how, you know, he should be impeached every day for every little thing, and you run stories about how he gets two scoops of ice cream where everybody else gets one scoop of ice cream, and how he's evil and he's a dictator, you attack him for things. President Trump has done enough stuff that you could attack him on his own credibly. Not an issue. You attack him for stuff when he makes a mistake. I don't care. I don't think anybody really does care. But when you attack him and his family, and you allow people to attack him and his family, and you celebrate it, then nobody's going to care about your little whiny, cry, you know, these little whiny op-eds. You're going to sue. Congratulations. It's America. Everybody sues. Tell me something I don't know. But the idea here that you're going to tell me in one breath that Elizabeth Warren does have strong proof that she's Native American, that CBF, quote unquote, Dr. Ford had credible evidence against Brett Kavanaugh, that you had credible evidence of a gas attack in Syria leading to the president launching missile strikes. Of course, these are three random examples I can pick that are not linked to each other in any way that show that you have biases, that you have fake news, that you have an agenda that you're pushing. And of course, she says she's citing some kind of Second Circuit opinion that found the First Amendment was violated when an official's statements can, quote unquote, be reasonably interpreted as intimidating, that some form of punishment or adverse regulatory action will follow the failure to accede to the official's request. Now, she says President Trump has engaged repeatedly in precisely this kind of behavior that those courts found unlawful. Run to your courts. Keep running to your courts, because President Trump is packing them with conservatives. But anyway, this is just a ridiculous state. But this is what they're thinking. And it shows, just like with Elizabeth Warren, how people in these bubbles don't react well to the uprooting of established ways of acting. And it's only going to get worse, especially when he wins the election again in 2020. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of hour one here on the Bad Brief from the Crusade Channel. King size truth from radio size speakers. Coming up in hour two, got this article from CNA. Catholic U professor leads response to French president's remark on large families. And more here on the Bad Brief from the Crusade Channel. We'll be back.
This report is maybe 12 years old. Parliament buried it. And it stayed buried until the river dug it up. This is what they feared she knew. And they were right to fear. There's a whole universe of folk who are going to know it, too. They're going to see it. Somebody has to speak for these people. Y'all got on this boat for different reasons, but y'all come to the same place. So now I'm asking more of you than I have before. Maybe all. As sure as I know anything, I know this. They will try again. Maybe on another world, maybe on this very ground, swept clean. A year from now, 10, they'll swing back to the belief that they can make people better. And I do not hold to that. So no more running. I am to misbehave.
All right, it is hour two of the Bad Brief here on the Crusade Channel. King size truth from radio size speakers coming at you live from the Republic of Texas. I am your humble host, Captain Middle American himself, Rick Barrett. Coming up in this hour, we are going to be talking about this story from Catholic News Agency about how a Catholic U professor leads response to French president's remark on large families. We have a Gallup poll talking about 38% of Americans are satisfied with the U.S. I wish it was lower. Nevada brothel owner Dennis Hoff is dead. And then we have an insane story talking about... We talked about the Catholic U professor leading the charge against the negative idea of large families. We're going to flip that on its head and talk about how stupid most Americans are, because Instagram-loving pet owners will spend nearly, folks, $500 million on animal costumes this Halloween. And, of course, the world-famous You've Got to Be Kidding Me. But before we get into all that, let's do our check of the market and the tech sector here from CNBC. First is the market. Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 25,766, which is down 32. S&P 500 is at 2,812, which is up 2. And NASDAQ's at 7,642, which is down 3. The Dow has rallied back from 300-point loss as bank shares and Netflix gain. Now let us go take a look at the tech market through CNBC.com.
I'm Josh Lipton with your CNBC Tech Check. Netflix shares are soaring today as Wall Street gushed about its third quarter earnings beat. Company revealed that it had picked up nearly 7 million subscribers in the third quarter, and it's seeing massive growth beyond its home market. Tesla chief Elon Musk plans to purchase $20 million of common stock during the next open trading window, according to a filing related to the CEO settlement with the SEC. Musk is the largest shareholder in Tesla, holding more than $9 billion worth of the stock. Google's YouTube faced a major outage last night, leaving users unable to access the site. Users in the US, Brazil, Japan, parts of Australia, Southeast Asia, and Western Europe were affected. YouTube said the problem is now fixed, but did not provide explanation about what went wrong. And finally, reality show The Real World is heading to Facebook Watch, the social network's video streaming service. The MTV series will run as three interactive series on Facebook in the U.S., Mexico, and Thailand early next year, according to Reuters. From CNBC, I'm Josh Lipton.
All right, there you go. There's your check on the tech sector. And, the thing about the tech check is it's good to understand what's going on there. But it legitimately is either Netflix, Amazon, Google, or Facebook. Sometimes they're all of them in the same one. But, hey, that's the world we live in today. And remember, this world is only a tent. We do not put a lot of stock. What I mean is we don't worry too much about the everyday things that happen. Of course, we want to be concerned with how things go, but we don't want to worry so much that it takes our focus away from what is the true point of this life, which is a holy death and a blessed eternity. This life is like a tent, folks. That's what I try to tell people. It can blow away at any time, no matter how secure you think it is. But we're going to talk, let's also, while we're on that subject, talking about how our faith is our guiding principles, not the Constitution or any state or any law. Let's talk about our virtue of the week. Let's reset that for this hour. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility, because that's our virtue of this week. Humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the Barrett Brief, in God's eyes, humility is defined as simply putting ourselves completely under his mighty hand. Humble yourself at the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We are humble when we are free from pride and arrogance. And when we are humble, we are ready and available to receive God's favor and blessing. We talk about these virtues, if you're just tuning in, we do these virtues of the week. Because for men in our society, we've been left behind. There's nothing to teach us. We used to be taught to be a gentleman, right? You dress a certain way, act a certain way. And that's gone. Now, most men in our society are aptly described as man-child. Bunch of man-babies. They don't dress right. They don't work the right way. They don't respect women. They use women as objects. Or they become these femme soy boys who don't understand what real masculinity is. Or they shake at the the actual idea of masculinity and a man's role in society. So we talk about these virtues, folks, because these virtues need to come back into our society. Well, I'm not really Richard. I don't like the fact that you use religion. Okay, well, think of when I talk about these virtues, talk about them. Think about them as traits. What a gentleman would do. A gentleman is humble. A gentleman is strong. A gentleman shows grace. Think about it that way. However you need to think to yourself, so you practice it daily, these virtues. And it's tough, especially in a society that is not humble. It's hard to be humble in a society that does not promote it. And it's hard when you start looking for opportunities to be humble instead of accepting the opportunities that are given to you. It's a little weird to say it like that, but it's how you have to be. You can't look for these opportunities, but you have to understand when they are presented to you. But that's our virtue of this week, folks. It is humility. Try. Well, let's not use the word try. Open yourself up to the opportunities that are presented to you today to use and integrate this virtue into your life. 844-527-8723 is the number that you could call if our phones were working, but that's okay. You can always send me the electronic mail, barrettbrief@gmail.com, barrettbrief@gmail.com. You can also go to the Mike Church Show chat room, mikechurch.com/chat. Still sitting at 23 people in there, so that's pretty good. I'm very happy to see that. We got 23 people in that chat room. We usually don't have 23 people in the chat room, so when we do, it's a pretty big deal. And how would you get there? Like I said before, you go to mikechurch.com/chat, C-H-A-T, and then you just sign in. The thing is, you don't have to sign in with any kind of membership or anything. You can sign in with your Facebook or your Google or your Facebook, your Google, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also create your own ID if you like. Those are sometimes the best, for the simple way that it just gives you the opportunities people have. So, mikechurch.com/chat. Jump in there. It's a good time. So let's get to this first story that I had teased or promised. From CNA, Catholic News Agency. Catholic U professor leads response to French president's remarks on large families. Okay. So, let's see here. What is the story behind this? I don't know, but let's get into it. This is by nobody's credited, so great. Just, I guess, I don't like it when they do that. This is being forwarded through EWNT, so somebody else wrote it. Anyway, let's get to it. Following a comment by President Emmanuel Macron, in which he expressed skepticism that any well-educated woman would decide to have many children, women with large families have been using the pound postcards for Macron hashtag to send the French president pictures of their happy families. Speaking about high fertility rates in Africa during a Gates Foundation quote-unquote goalkeepers event held in New York City from September 25th through the 26th, Macron compared having a large family with forcing girls to be married as a child. Now, you have to understand, before I get any further, that Emmanuel Macron is a childless loser. Yeah, congratulations, he's the French president. Whoopee! Good job. You're still a childish loser. You're childless. You have no kids. All right? You have no understanding about what a family is. So to you, it does look alien. And if you notice something, all the leaders in Europe, childless weirdos. It's so weird. Childless weirdos, childless losers. Can you believe he's the concept of children is so foreign to this guy that the only way he can even equate it or compare it or even comprehend it is to look at it as slavery for women, for women.
Believe all women.
Macron stated when women are educated, they do not have many children. Once again, this is a problem in Western society and a problem within Catholicism, is we are taking our advice from childless losers, childless weirdos. We all decide that a guy who is childless should be the leader in what we should be doing as a family. However, and of course, there's always the people that say, well, what about the Catholic Church? The Catholic Church tells you you should have kids, regardless. That's what the Catholic Church says you should be doing. So that's a little different than President Emmanuel Macron telling you that, well, why would an educated woman want children? I don't know, you childless loser. Why not? Why didn't you have kids, buddy? What's wrong with you? It's not the question here, and it's filtered into Catholic families, unfortunately, is why would you have more than two or three kids? Golly gee, you have more than two or three kids. And so when instead of having large families, people have said it in past talks, and it's very true. Your grandma had eight kids, or your grandma had eight kids, or your great grandma had eight kids. Your grandma had six. Your mom had three. And then the meme goes, you had an abortion and a dog. The way our society has turned from, a large loving family, even though, what is it? We have these large loving families, and always in these films where we talk about family, but now it's like, oh, no, you can't be bothered to have more than one. You're listening to the Bad Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. somebody in the chat room put up great. Do you really want somebody like President Emmanuel Macron reproducing? Probably not. Probably not. Anyway, Macron continued saying, I always say, present me with women who desire being perfectly educated to have 7, 8, or 9 children. I know, it's such a stereotypical French accent, but I'm going to go with it, said Macron. Please present me with a young girl who decided to leave school at 10 in order to be married at 12. Sacre bleu! In response, many women took issue with the French president's apparent disbelief that academically successful women would choose to be mothers of several children. What? How dare... And yeah, by the way, Macron, isn't he supposedly Catholic, quote-unquote, while being a childless loser? What about men that aren't married or women that aren't married? Well, if they choose to do that vocation, if there's a reason they don't get married and so forth, it's sad, but I'm really looking more at families that have 1 to 2 to 3. That is not saying, of course, I have to preface all this because we live in such a knee-jerk, outraged society. Let's say you're a married couple and you try and you only have one kid. Okay, that's what God has given you. If you try and you have one kid, but after that, you just don't reproduce anymore, then that's what you have. But if you have one kid or two kids, and then you say, okay, it's time for you to snip, time for you to get a vasectomy, which is, by the way, a mortal sin. Please do not do that, men. Or your wife says, well, I'm going to go on the pill now. Don't do that either. When you decide to cut short the ability for you to have kids, that is the mistake. Not if, hey, you know, we've tried to have kids, but we only had one. Okay, well, there you go. That's you. Now, if you say, oh, well, after two kids, we just felt that was enough. So I got an IUD and my husband got a vasectomy. Ooh, no, that's wrong. That's the childish loser thinking of Emmanuel Macron. Anyway, let's get back into the article. In response, many women took issue with the French president's apparent disbelief that academically successful women would choose to be mothers of seven children. Dr. Catherine R. Pakula, no, Pakluk, a professor of social research and economics at the Catholic University of America, started the hashtag by sharing a photo of herself with and six of her eight children. So if you were to look on Instagram or Twitter or wherever she is, it's a lovely woman, and she's got one, two, three, four, five boys, one girl, and she just looks happy. You know, I'm not a fan of Stefan Molyneux. I've already said that on this program. I mean, a lot of people like him. He's okay for YouTube. But he did say something that I thought was very interesting. He said, as you get older, if you choose to have... Well, there's a difference between people who choose to have kids versus people who don't choose to have kids. If you choose to have kids, as you get older, you will be surrounded by more life. As opposed to not having kids, you will be surrounded by more death. You choose. And that struck me. That was actually something he said that I agreed with. What do you mean? What does he mean, Rick? Well, if you have kids, and they have kids, and you're constantly around these beautiful children and these babies, and you're always around life. But if you decided that kids weren't right for you, but I have dogs, that kids weren't right for you, your parents will die. Your brothers and sisters will die. Guess what, folks? Your dogs and cats will die. And eventually, you will be alone. Or, Rich, you're alone when you die anyway. You take the choice. Yeah, I agree, we're all alone when we die, but you can be alone at the moment of death, but right before the moment of death, you can be surrounded by your kids and loved ones, or you can be surrounded by a bunch of nurses. Which one do you want? You're listening to the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. So, let's get back into this article from CNA. Catholic U professor leads response to French president's remarks on large families. And I have to reaffirm what Mike Church and the Mike Church Show said this morning. His viewpoint is the viewpoint of a lot of Catholics. Oh, Josh, that's awful. Somebody in the chat room said something that was funny, but me. Get there by going to mikechurch.com/chat. The meme is perfect in that. Your grandma, 10 kids. Your great-grandma, 10 kids. Your grandma, 7 kids. Your mom, 3 kids. You, abortion and a dog. And it's directed at modern Western society women. Yeah, congratulations. Well done. You were able to travel your whole life. I just want to travel and be free. You notice, you ever talk to a woman with no kids, in her 60s with no husband and no kids? So angry, so sad. The level of sadness and anger there, because they have fought against what nature has programmed them to be. Oh, barefoot and pregnant, Richard? No, a loving mother in a good marriage with kids. Now, it's a habit, folks. When I 844-527-8723, but no, mikechurch.com/chat. Anyway, Catherine Pakulik followed up that tweet with an explanation that she holds both a master's degree and a PhD from Harvard and has, as she phrased it, eight children by choice. Her post garnered thousands of views, and other women followed her lead, including Beth Hockel, who's a Stanford graduate, electrical engineer, and mom of 11. Catholic writer Elizabeth Foss shared a picture of her 9 children saying, yes, they're all mine, and so is my University of Virginia degree. Men joined in as well, sharing pictures of their wives and their own mothers. A guy named Josh Canning. Check out my educated and inspiring wife and mom of 7. I don't have kids yet, folks, but, family members have. And are kids tough? Yes. kids are PIAs, and if you want to know what a PIA is, you can send me a message or an email, and I'll fill it in for you. They can totally be PIAs. But so is that dog that you love when you got to potty train it. And guess what? You're going to get a lot more mileage out of a child than a kid, to be completely honest. But there are a lot more moments. And people, look back at your family photos. Do your parents look mad? Were your parents probably tough? Yeah. But I've never seen where a parent is regretful of having a child. Several people pointed out that philosopher Elizabeth Ann Sowerby was a mother of seven, yet still taught at Oxford and Cambridge. And while Macron made the remark at the end of September, his comments on family size gained media traction on Monday following a report in the Guardian newspaper. Now, of course, Emmanuel Macron himself does not have any children. So what does that make him? Childless loser. A loser. But his wife has three children from her first marriage. Oh, congratulations. You are such a loser that you couldn't have your own kids, but you're going to take care of somebody else's kids? Way to go. Richard, did you just make a mark on blended families and how... And yeah, men, guess what? Here's a lesson for you. Men are not made to take care of other men's kids. I know I'm probably making a lot of people mad right now. But coming as a child of divorce, there is no other... First of all, there's no other man that I wanted to replace my dad. And there's no man who wanted to be my dad. This idea that, and stepfathers and things like that, I mean, we might be stepping into a pond here but with that statement, but in reality, at your base, men are not designed to take care of other men's kids. Last line in the article, the Macrons, the childish loser, Emmanuel Macron and his family, have met with the future fresh... The Macrons met when the future French president was 15 years old. His future wife, Bridget, was his teacher. Oh my gosh, this guy's like gross. I didn't know that. Ew. Ew, that's so gross. Grody. But, yeah. Be careful to listen to childless losers talk about how great it is not to have kids. Oh yeah, congratulations. You get a fancy car. You got a nice house. All that stuff fades, folks. All that stuff breaks, folks. And yes, does it mean having kids is going to be the greatest thing in the world? Does it mean that having any of this stuff is going to be easy? No. Is it worth it? Yes. Is it part of the natural order? Yes. Hey, Aaron, I will ban you from the chat room if you keep that up. Say that again. MikeChurch.com/chat. All right, moving on to our next article. I feel these two stories are perfect. They dovetail into each other. People like Emmanuel Macron, the childless loser, and Western society have told you, don't have kids. Why would you want to put yourself into slavery by having kids? Instead, go get a dog. It's the same thing. And that kind of thinking has led to this article from MarketWatch. Instagram-loving pet owners will spend nearly $500 million on animal costumes this Halloween. I'm sure Lord Sidious in the chat room will love that line. $500 million on animal costumes, folks. I don't even spend that much. I don't spend any money on my own costumes. Where you people are nuts. I mean, that's just wrong. But hey, let's get into this article. This is by Andrew Kressner, who I'm sure probably has like four dogs himself. I was saying the title of the latest article, Lord Sidious. Instagram-loving pet owners will spend nearly $500 million on animal costumes this Halloween. Are you one of those people listening? Sounds like Aaron would be one of these people that spends money on his, like, 15 cats. I don't know. Maybe not. MyChurch.com/chat. You're listening to the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel. King/Truth. I'm ready to say speakers. Look out for lizards dressed as waiters, dogs dressed as Cleopatra, and cats wearing tutus this Halloween. Pets are getting roped into Halloween madness, whether they like it or not. As more consumers are shelling out ever-climbing sums to costume their beloved animals. What? More than 30 million people will spend an estimated $480 million treating their pets to costumes this Halloween. More than double the $220 million spent on pet Halloween costumes in 2010 when the National Retail Federation began tracking pet costumes. What is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? What do you, first of all, every time I see a costume, my wife tried to do this to me when we were younger. When we were first married, oh, let's get a costume for the... No, we are not doing that. We are not doing that. We ain't. I always look at that as animal abuse. You stick your dog in some kind of, like, weird costume that they don't really know, and it's just... What are you doing? Anyway, the National Retail Federation says Americans will spend $9 billion celebrating Halloween this year. How many of those are pagans? How many of those people understand the Catholic roots of Halloween? Not many of them. Not even a lot of Catholics. But that's slightly lower than the $9.1 billion last year on costumes, cards, and decorations. Pet costumes will represent 15% of the $3.2 billion spent on all costume sales. Excuse me, let me say that again. Pet costumes will represent 15% of the $3.2 billion spent on all costume sales. Why? Why? Your dog does not get anything out of it. Look at my little doggy. Oh, they're a little princess. Your dog's like, I'm going to rip your face off if you don't take this off of me. Oh. I don't know. Can somebody make sure Aaron does not have another cup of coffee? Because apparently he is just all over the place. MyChurch.com/chat. You're listening to the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel. King/Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Look how much, for one day, look how much money, look how stupid we are in America, where we blow $9 billion. For what?
Look how cute my puppy is. Ooh.
What's wrong with you people? What is wrong with you that you're going to spend $9 billion on this? I'm still trying to process that amount of people will spend, you know, people in the chat room are bringing it up. Why couldn't we just give it to charity? Why couldn't we do this? Oh no, because we got to get them Instagram likes. We got to get all this stuff here, self-affirming the fact that we decided to be childless weirdos. So instead of having fun with our children and having family gatherings and talking about Halloween and dressing your kids up as saints and having a fun time, no, we're going to put a tutu on a cat.
Look at Miss Fluffy is a little princess. Hee hee.
Meanwhile, the cat's like, if I get the chance to, lady, I'm going to scratch your face off. Oh, of course. Millennials aged 25 to 34 years old are most likely to dress up their pets, often posting their animal's Halloween look online, because the 25 to 34 year olds, instead of having kids and raising their kids up, will buy the Wonder Woman costume and put it on their dog, or dress their dog up like a taco. Which, don't get me wrong, is funny, but it's also really sad. As with everything from plastic surgery to boasting about children, Facebook and Instagram appears to be fueling the trend, yet another reason why they're pure evil. Social media is allowing millennial consumers to have fun with Halloween, says the National Retail Federation spokeswoman Anna Serafin Smith. What do you mean they're allowing them to have fun with Halloween? So, dressing up and dressing up your kids and having fun with them and going through the whole thing, that's not fun? Dressing Fufu up as Wonder Woman, that's fun. Okay. You know, my neighborhood is actually pretty fun on Halloween. We live in an area that has a couple of apartment complexes near us and stuff like that. So as a result, every Halloween, our neighborhood is flooded. We get so many people, and it's a lot of fun. I sit in the back of my truck, and I don't dress up or anything, and I dish out candy, and just seeing all the kids in all their little costumes, and it's a nice thing to see. But instead, I got to go on Instagram and see how Fluffy is a member of the Avengers. Because you didn't want kids. Because you listened to losers like Emmanuel Macron, who said that you shouldn't have them. Of course, the pumpkin is the top pet custom. I'm sorry. Somebody posted something in the chat room that caught me at the wrong time. right as I started to read. Good one, Chris, in Colorado. The pumpkin is the top pet costume, because not only can we have kids, we can't be creative. It's got to be the pumpkin. You can't even be creative with the costumes. With the hot dog and the bumblebee taking second and third spots. But the possibilities are endless. Pets have been spotted dressing up as everything from a pharaoh to Wonder Woman. I don't even care. Folks, you people who are saying I don't like pets, I love my dog. I love my dog. My dog is great. I love all my pets. I love them, but you know what? There's a point where it's just like, that's a little much. It's not a human. It doesn't understand these traits. In reality, the pet likes to cuddle with you because it's part of your pack, but they really want to be fed, and they need to go outside, and then they want to go back to sleep. That's really what it is. So, it's crazy. But there you go, folks. $500 million this year people are going to spend on pets. Meanwhile, they're not going to spend that much money, you know, getting their contraception and making sure they get their ways so they don't have kids, because they don't want to spend money on kids, but they'll spend up to an absurd amount of money on pet costumes. And they get, like, pet food that is organically made from vegan goats and all this other kind of nonsense. But they don't want to do this for their kids. Oh, I don't want to. So much money to have kids. Oh, did you see my dog? I left him at the spa. I spent $60 to send him to the spa for the day. I'm sorry. What did you just say? All right. It's the bottom of the hour. I want to talk to you guys about my Founders Trading Post Spotlight of the Month, which is the Pocket Constitution, which you can get by going to mikechurch.com/shop, S-H-O-P. The National Center for Constitutional Studies has printed a special edition copy of the Constitution of the United States and has been proofed word for word against the original Constitution housed in the archives in Washington, D.C. It is identical in spelling, capitalization, and punctuation. This 48-page pocket constitution also includes the Bill of Rights, Amendments 11 through 27, the Declaration of Independence, and a complete index of the Constitution. And as a bonus, you can add Mike Church's autograph to your pocket constitution. That's right, the King Dude himself. You can get this by going to mikechurch.com/shop. That is the Founders Trading Post. And my spotlight of the month is the pocket constitution, which you can get by going to mikechurch.com/shop. Okay, that's a funny one in the chat room. Y'all gonna make me backtrack now too. If you know, let me say this. The only time it's acceptable, I'll throw this out there. The only time it's acceptable to dress up your dog, and I've seen this when people going on Halloween, if it's like an accessory to the kids that you're dressing up and taking out. You know, I've seen it where the dog is dressed up like a family dresses up like Guardians of the Galaxy. And, you know, the dad is Star-Lord and the little girl's Gamora and the boy's Drax, and then the dog is like Rocket Raccoon. That's a fine. That's a fine. I'm going to shut off the chat room, guys, in a moment. You guys are going to stop sending me this stuff. That's a fine addition. But if you have nobody, if you don't have kids and you're married, and you're going to spend $30-$40 on an outfit for your dog, that's your problem. You got issues. You got issues, lady. I'm going to talk about this real quick because I teased it earlier in the day. Please remember in your prayers, Nevada brothel owner, assembly candidate Dennis Hoff, who died last night. I know either way, but let's pray for the repose of all souls. Coming out of Las Vegas, Dennis Hoff, the pimp who gained notoriety for an HBO series about his brothel business and who fashioned himself as a Donald Trump-style Republican candidate for state legislature, was found dead after hours after his 72nd birthday bash, according to authorities. Hoff was pronounced dead at his private residence at the Love Ranch brothel west of Las Vegas. We pray for the repose of his soul. All right, guys. Let's see here. I have this article here from WWPLP 22 News. National study. Work less, live longer. We're covering it here on the Bear Brief and the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Apparently, this was forward from CNN. Working long hours every day could be bad for your health. Full and part-time employees in the United States work an average of 40 hours a week, according to the 2017 data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Working more than that has been linked to negative changes to your health, while working fewer hours each week could help make you healthier, according to research from NYU's Ligon Health. Sounds like this is a socialist study. Work less. Let government take care of you. All right. Four ways a shorter work week could help improve your health. Less stress. A study published by the Journal of Psychological Medicine in 2011 found that working more than 55 hours per week was associated with symptoms of anxiety and depression among people ages 44 to 66 who were employed full-time. Those who worked less had lower risks of those symptoms. Okay, thanks. The second way a shorter work week could improve your health, according to this article from WWLP22 News, study Work Less, Live Longer says, you'll sleep more. A lack of sleep may lead to poor performance, memory, and difficulty processing information. Well, yeah, if you're not working as much, what are you going to do? You're going to be able to sleep in. Getting the right amount of sleep can improve your health, but they say that for everything. And what is your right amount of sleep? I found that 6 hours of sleep is about the most my body will let me. Case in point. Monday night when we had no internet in the DFW area, we were like, I guess we'll all go to bed. So I went to bed at 9. Guess what? I woke up at 3. Wide awake. Because I usually go to bed at 10, wake up at 4. So I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't go back to bed. Which is fine. I got up and did stuff. But, you know, how much sleep is too much sleep versus not enough? The third way it can improve your life by not working as much. is improve your heart health. Working less could lower the risk of coronary heart disease among adults. Doesn't say why, just says it does. And the fourth is spend more time with loved ones. They can help combat loneliness, encourage a person to engage in leisurely activities and exercise. The flip side of that is you will actually be spending more time with those people. There's a lot of people who work the hours they do so they don't have to be around their loved ones. So I don't know if these people get that. Listening to the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Next up, I have this study from Gallup saying 38% of Americans are satisfied with the U.S. This is by Frank Newport. I wish that snapshot was lower, so that way we could actually get sovereignty back to the individual states instead of lumping it all in there to one blob of America. But, yeah. I actually agree with people in the chat room. If I sleep too much, man, I'm awful. By the way, speaking of the last study when we talk about sleep, I get up at 4 every day. If I sleep in on the weekends to 6, I feel like I've lost half my day already. I really do. So, I mean, it's just a study. It's to promote socialism. And that's what it's to do. Don't work as much. Let the government take care of you. Look how healthy you'll be. Except you'll be standing in bread lines. All right, maybe. Well, guess what? If you don't have kids, then you can sleep as much as you want with your dog. Hey, it's all tied together. Here we go. Let's get back into this study here from Gallup. Satisfaction with the way things are going has been stable for 6 months. In addition to government, top problems include immigration and race issues. All right. Less than a month before the November midterm elections, 38% of Americans are satisfied with the way things are going in the United States. Little changed over the past 6 months, but generally higher than it's been over the past decade. From a long-term perspective, the current satisfaction reading is similar to the 37% average that's been given since 1979. Okay, so if the average is always 37, if the average is 37%, why do we run to the government for everything? Why do we put our trust in government? Why don't we put it in God? What is the issue here? Why do we continue? Oh, you could say because of public indoctrination and the fact that people have routinely put government over God because it's something. If you don't have any faith, it's very easy, and it's very easy to see results. A lot of people lack the necessary faith to do it. Let's see here. The background is these results are based on Gallup's October 1st through 10th survey. The most recent update of this question, which has been measured on a monthly basis since 2001 and less frequently from 1979 to 2000. 38% satisfaction rating in October is significantly higher than it was in the final polls conducted before the two midterm elections held during Barack Obama's presidency, 2014 and 2010, but it is comparable to the 2006 reading during George W. Bush's second term. The party of the president lost seats in the U.S. House of Representatives in each of those elections, but that's pretty much historically what goes on, no matter what. By contrast, satisfaction was 60% in 1998 and 48% in 2002. The president's party gained seats in both years. Huh. Gallup will take one final measure. I don't really care. Most important problem, the two important conclusions from last month's analysis of America's views are reinforced in October's data. The first 13% of this month who mentioned some aspect of the economy is essentially tied for the lowest in Gallup's history. Second, Americans continue to most likely say issues relating to the way the nation is being governed. About 27% of all mentions this month are top problems facing the nation. Ironically here, people working is not one of them. People working too much. Which, what's the bottom line here? All three partisans groups, Republicans, Independents, and Democrats, currently name government as the top problem facing the nation. then why do we put so much emphasis on it? You know, most people outside of these bubbles, these news bubbles and these government bubbles and the parasitic class that Mike Church has talked about in the Mike Church Show, which you can listen to this morning show. If you go to the iTunes or Google Play Store and download the Crusade Channel content app, become a founding brother or higher, you also get access to the latest shows from every latest episodes from every show here on the Crusade Channel, like Reconquest with Brother Andre Marie, Reverse Deception with Greg Carpenter, True Money Show with David Simpson, this show, and Middle Church's show as well. If you become a founding brother or higher, go to the iTunes or Google Play Store and download the Crusade Channel content app. So why are we putting it? Why do we put it there? Because we're told to. But politics is never supposed to have been the most... is not supposed to be the primary driver in today's society. It never was. It's been told... we've been told to make it that way. Why? So the people in power can stay in power. So they can furnish their lavish lifestyles. So they can tell us, listen, hey, you know, you got to vote me back in because blah, 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 blah. And we have fallen for it. We do it time and time and time again. But most of the time, people don't care. People don't care about politics. And it's become this thing where I have to hate you because of your politics and you have to hate me because of mine. And it's just becoming the most obscene thing. And people are getting tired of it. I mean, you could see that in the reflection in Trump. But the fact that all three groups, your Republicans, your independents, your Democrats, they all name the government as a problem. And if that is your issue, if all three of them in one way or another say government is the problem, government is the problem. Of course, then we go into the idea where it may be the problem, we just need our people in there to do things the right way. Instead of saying the government's a problem, we need to get, you know, we need to shrink it, reduce some of the power. People say, well, Democrats say it's a problem because Republicans are in control. And Republicans say it's a problem because the Democrats don't let us do what we want. Guess what? The state of Texas, if it was its own country, would not have to worry about California or New York or Rhode Island or Maine or Delaware. It would just do what Texas does. Louisiana could do what Louisiana does. Illinois could do what Illinois wants. California wants to be a sanctuary, you know, hole in the ground. Let them. It does nothing to me. I don't care. But even these polls are telling us most people find politics annoying. And it's just one of these things where it's like, folks, give up on it. Stop looking to government as your answer. Get back into your communities. Get back to your faith. Well, I don't have faith. Find it. I'm not a religious person. Maybe you should. Have kids. If you're a married couple and you don't have kids, consider it. And when I say consider it, I mean start trying. Stop living the lifestyle, or stop living the way that the oligarchy wants you to. They want you to be a childless weirdo. You notice how the oligarchy outside of, you know, the leaders in Europe, they all have kids. They all have multiple kids. They understand the stakes. They reproduce. Why don't you? All right. Now it is time for the world famous You've Got to Be Kidding Me, where I drudge the depths of the internet to find the weirdest stories, and so that way you can say you've got to be kidding me. From GoUpstate.com. Man shot after triggering his own booby trap. This is by Joyce Orlando. A 60-year-old man accidentally shot himself with a gun rigged at his back door. Edwin Smith was caught in his own trap at around 11:30 a.m. Monday. According to investigators, Smith had a shotgun set up facing his back door. When he went outside to feed some squirrels, He went outside to feed some squirrels. At some point, he opened the door and the gun fired and hit him in his right arm. Cleveland County Sheriff's deputies did not immediately know if the contraption malfunctioned or if he forgot the weapon was rigged to fire. "I've never seen anything quite like this," said Captain John Wright. First responders cautiously went through the home to be sure nothing else was rigged with weapons. The man was taken to a nearby hospital. Wright said Smith was severely wounded but alert when he was transported. Crystal Bevan, Smith's neighbor, described him as the kind of man who cared about his neighbors. Apparently not enough to rig his house with booby traps. Oh, this is a great line. "He also stood up for our neighbors when the drugs and bad people started moving in." Oh, you can't even write this stuff. "He stood up for our neighbors when the drugs and the bad people started moving in." This guy sounds like a 68-year-old John Wick. The wooded area where the incident happened is littered with no trespassing signs, including a large red and white one warning crackheads, drug dealers, and illegal aliens to stay off his property. Apparently, he should stay off his own property or else he'll get shot. Oh, man, you got to be kidding me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for me, please send me the electronic mail, BarrettBrief@gmail.com, BarrettBrief at gmail.com. You can also follow me on the Twitter, BarrettBrief, same handle, Facebook.com/BarrettBrief as well. All different ways to get in touch with me. I really want to know what your thoughts on the show are, getting better or worse, and so forth. And if you want to get access to the latest episodes of this show and all the other shows here on the Crusade Channel, I recommend you go to the iTunes and Google Play Store and download the Crusade Channel content app. As long as you are a founding brother or higher, you will get streaming access to play episodes from anywhere. It'll always be updated with the latest episodes. You have the ability to create playlists and more, but you got to be a founding brother or higher when you use the VRN or the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel content app. I want to thank everybody in the chat room, you guys with your memes and pictures and fantastic comments today were very, very fun, if not a little mean at times. That's okay, I can take the ribbing. If you didn't join him today, I really want you to join him tomorrow. You go to MikeChurch.com/chat between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Central. That's when the Barrett Brief airs. And I would like you to join the Mike Church Show chat during that time. Maybe someday I'll actually get a better response from Mr. McConaughey instead of, you got to bump those numbers up. Help me bump them up as well. All right. So, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. You have been briefed here on the Bear Brief on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth and Radio Size Speakers. Don't forget to go to the Mike Church Show Founders Training Post at MikeChurch.com/shop, S-H-O-P, and find my Founders Training Post Spotlight of the Month, which is the Pocket Constitution, as well as all the other amazing things there, Crusade Capuchin Dark Roast Coffee, the rosaries, and so forth. Definitely check it out. Coming at you live from the Republic of Texas, I am your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett, telling you you have been briefed, and in the words of Mother Angelica, I am no punching bag. Thank you all for joining today. I wish you grace and peace to every single one of you.